Well, as we continue to worship, it's my privilege to introduce our guest speaker for this morning. Dr. John Trent is the founding president of the Center for Strong Families in Phoenix, Arizona, where he and his wife Cindy make their home. Been doing that particular ministry for about 20 years, is that right, John? And about 25 years ago, John, with Gary Smalley, wrote a book called The Blessing. That should ring some bells to you at Barclay. And when I was a youth pastor, youth and family pastor back in Denver, we used that book, and I was able to kind of teach some stuff out of that with our families. Great stuff. And so we now have an Institute for the Blessing at Barclay College, which is inspired by some of those things that John wrote about. And Tony Wheeler, of course, is the director of that. There's Tony back there. All right. So that's a little bit of background. There's a lot more we could say about Dr. Trent, but we're really glad to have him today. So would you welcome Dr. John Trent?
Biggest claim to fame is the Lord has given us two awesome kids, Carrie and Laura. And Carrie was in the back. Is she still in the back? Oh, there she is. Now she's moved up about a row. But our oldest daughter, Carrie, is with us. Can we give it up for Carrie? Let's give it up for Carrie. There we go. I'm going to jump in and talk about something great, but before I do, I need you to kind of take part in that discussion, and here's what I'd like you in just a second to talk about with somebody real briefly right near you. And what it is in just a minute, I want you to stand up and find somebody around you and share with them when you've had a brush with greatness. Now, here's what I mean by that. I was on an American flight a couple of years ago, and guess who sits down next to me? I was upgraded to first class because I fly so much. I'm in the window seat, and guess who sits in the aisle is Chris O'Donnell. Now, if you're over, you know, like 25, you know, if you're over 25 or 30, you don't know who that is probably, but he was in season 2 of Grey's Anatomy, and he was Robin and Batman and Robin, and all the girls at the time thought he was really hot. And the bottom line is I couldn't even get a Coke the entire flight because the stewardesses, there were like four stewardesses, were all, you know, talking to him, and I'd say, "Can I get shut up?" You know, they just wanted to talk to him, so I didn't even get it. So I sat to, and so I'm thinking, this is incredible, and I'm not making this up, okay? On the way back from the same trip, guess who sits one row across from me is Danny Glover, who was in the very first Rush Hour, what was he in? With Mel Gibson, what was that called? Yeah, I knew that. And but anyway, he's real famous, so just for a second, because you'll be sitting for an hour and a half easy here. I'm just kidding. I always end on time. But do me a favor, stand up, and who's somebody that you've been around or met that's quote unquote famous besides Dr. Tony Wheeler? Okay, so stand up and stand up real quick and tell somebody. Stand up real quick, find somebody, and who's somebody you've been around that was great? Okay, when you're done, go ahead and grab a chair. When you're done, go ahead and grab a seat, and we'll get started. All right. Okay. All right. Okay, go ahead and... all right. I know it's hard to give you guys any time to talk to each other, but anybody so what'd you find out? Did anybody find out that they were meet somebody that was great because they were a sports figure? Anybody talk about a sports figure? Couple of hands. Anybody I didn't actually meet him. He wouldn't actually talk to me, but I did kind of meet him. Anybody kind of meet a movie star or somebody, you know, like that? So here's what I'm getting at. When we think about who is really great, I mean, what does our mind go to? The, you know, captains of industry or somebody that's the latest star or the greatest, you know, athlete that we run into. Maybe you are... talking about who's great, and you're talking about yourself. Here's what I'm getting about. In Mark chapter 9, Jesus is hanging out with the disciples, and he says, "And they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, that he being Jesus, he asked them and said, 'What were you arguing about along the road?' Now, they kept quiet because along the road, they had been arguing about what? Who was the greatest? Who is the greatest? And of course, that's what they ought to be arguing about, because Jesus had just told them that he was about to be killed and crucified, and that he would rise again, but that it was in essence his ministry was about to close down. And for a lot of us, particularly that are pretty competitive, like, who is on at least the seventh or eighth world of Angry Birds? Okay, anybody competitive in here? You know, well, the bottom line is that there is a sense, I think, for a lot of us that if the game is over, we want to know, how did we do? Well, here they've just been told by Jesus, in essence, the game's over. So it's natural for us to then say, well, okay, who won? I mean, you don't play Monopoly and then not count up the money. I mean, you want to know who won. So they're thinking, well, if it's all over, who's the greatest? And guess what Jesus does? And this is all about what we're trying to do at the Institute for the Blessing. But Jesus says to him this. He goes, look, he didn't scold them, but sitting down, Jesus called the 12 and said, if anyone wants to be first, he must be the last and the servant of all. But he didn't just tell them, because that's a great thing that Jesus did all the time. It was show and tell, show and tell. His own life, but then also he put things into words so that we could get it. And so he says, now listen, I know you've been talking about greatness. The greatest is, it's flipped. It's not what you think great is. It's different than that. And he goes, wait a minute. Let me show you this. And so listen to what he does. And taking a little child that was standing near him, he took that child in his arms, and he said to them, whoever receives children like this receives me. Now, is that what it says? That's not what it says. What it literally says, whoever receives how many kids? One. So I was a Greek major at Dallas Seminary because I got some bad advice, frankly, and stood in the wrong line. I didn't know New Testament. If you majored in New Testament, that meant that you majored in Greek. And I hadn't even taken Spanish before I went to seminary, so that was a great 4 years of my life, being a Greek major. But one of the things that you notice in the original languages is there are words, and guess what word is in there? One. The word one. One kid. It is, greatness is all about one child and pouring into them. Well, guess what the Institute for the Blessing that is based right here is going to get a chance to do? We're going to get a chance starting this May 19th, Focus on the Family is helping us, and our challenge is to get 1 million people to do something great, and that is to give the blessing to one kid. Let's just pour into one kid's life. So we're going to be asking 1 million people to give the blessing to the child, to a child. Now, do you know what the blessing is? Hopefully you know what that is. I mean, that's using our words and our touch to really communicate to a child that they're so valuable. For example, that saying to a child, you know what, you are so smart, even if you go to Manhattan College. And just kidding, I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, isn't that your big rival? I thought everybody hated Manhattan College. But anyway, the point is that you want to use your words and your touch and everything else to communicate how valuable they are. Now, let me do something right now, which is show and tell. I was talking about this with this guy in Atlanta. His name is Matt Pope, and he produces little films. And so we're talking about this, and I'm explaining what we're going to do with the blessing and helping people just really realize that, hey, greatness isn't way up there. It's starting with one kid. And it's really understanding what greatness is. And so he puts together a little film. So this isn't out in the public yet, but I want you guys to see it, and then we'll pull things back together. But take a minute, and let's talk about greatness by taking a picture here. Let's take a look at this.
There's a story right in the middle of the Gospels that you may have heard. Jesus is hanging out with his disciples one day when the mother of two of them, James and John, she comes up to Jesus and she says, Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, would you let one of my boys sit on your right and the other on your left? The Bible doesn't say exactly what the other disciples thought about this, but I wouldn't be surprised if they sort of snickered at James and John a little bit for getting their mama to do the dirty work for them. But I bet all of them also had another thought in one form or another. How do I measure up? We've all probably heard before how God wants us to step up and be spiritual leaders, try to make a difference for the kingdom. A friend of mine named Miles comes to mind. Miles has been pretty successful in his business. Well, really successful. And I watch him sometimes and admire the way that he uses the platform that God's given him, the integrity that he tries to show in the way he conducts his business, the money that he has that he can give away. I started my own business a while back, .com. Stop me if you know where this is going, right? I used to think about all the great ways that God could use me once my business took off, all the people I could influence, all the money I could give away, just like my friend. I think of myself like this cup, you know, and I pray, God, would you just fill me up with opportunity, with influence? Give me a platform so I could use it for you. Funny thing happened to me, though, right before my .com dot bombed, when it still looked like it might actually take off. I started to think of myself not as the cup that God could use, but as the coffee inside. I was what was going to be so beneficial to God's kingdom. Maybe I'd even deserve a seat next to Jesus. I've got another friend, Maria. She works in a fancy high-rise building downtown cleaning luxury condos and penthouses. Her job really doesn't give her much of a platform like Miles has. And she definitely doesn't have a lot of extra money to give away. But I think of her when I think about the way Jesus responds to that question from James and John's mom. Because Jesus, he turns to the disciples, to all of them, probably because he knew that they were all thinking the same thing. And he says, you guys want to be great? Here's how you do it. Become a servant. You see this sleeve on this cup? It's only got one job, to support the cup. That's it. I think a lot of times God says to us, to me, I don't want you to be the cup today. Be the sleeve. Just be the sleeve. serve somebody. It can be a humbling role to be the sleeve when you always saw yourself as the cup. But Jesus, he wasn't done yet. He says to his disciples, "You want to be great, be a servant. But whoever wants to be first must be your slave." Do you ever feel like all you're doing is cleaning up someone else's mess? That you don't get any credit for the work you're doing for the kingdom? I got news for you. The cup, it's important. The sleeve is very important. But Jesus says when you're willing to be the napkin, you're first. There's something about the secret life of a Christian, about being the napkin and nobody even knows about it. Preachers, I think, like to call it humility. I sort of like to think of it as some sort of spiritual gravity, gravity for your soul. Jesus said, if you humble yourself before him, he will lift you up. But if you make yourself big, he will humble you. Cup, the sleeve, the napkin. The roles aren't mutually exclusive. Maybe today God will give you an opportunity. Ask you to step up and lead, even if you aren't used to it. Use you as a cup in somebody's life. Maybe tomorrow he'll ask you to step down and be the sleeve that supports somebody else as they lead. The day after that, God might ask you to be the napkin to clean up somebody else's mess. Or just be there for someone who's hurting. And if he does, then rejoice. Because he says, you're first. I heard somewhere that the kingdom of God is bringing what's up there down here. And maybe the way to do that is to worry less about where we can step up and lead and more about where we can step down and serve. But whatever role God gives you, the cup, the sleeve, or the napkin, don't ever forget, you are not the coffee.
Well, I hope you get that picture, and I hope the next time that you're at Origins and you grab a cup of coffee and it's really hot, what's the first thing you're going to look for? Is a sleeve. Because guess what the sleeve does? Is it takes the heat so that somebody can hang on to that cup. And then a lot of us are going to be involved with people where, frankly, life is messy and we're helping them clean up messes. And that's the napkin, the cup and the sleeve and the napkin. I think it's a great picture of what it means to be great, to just serve one person. And so at the Institute, what we're trying to do is just train people to be cups, okay, and sleeves and napkins, and to really do something great. Well, thank you for letting me share with you for a minute, and just hope that encourages your heart. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer, and then will you dismiss us, or you want me to? Okay, well then let me just close this up in a word of prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Here we go. Well, Lord Jesus, we are so grateful that even though we can argue about what greatness is, you give us crystal clear pictures in your word. You take a child, one child, and put him in your arms and say, you want to be great? Then be a servant. Be the cup that supports others. Be the sleeve that takes the heat so that others can hang in there with you and in their relationships. Lord, be the napkin and help us to be the kinds of people that are willing to step into messy lives and say, I'm going to be there for you and love you and bless you. And so we are so grateful for your love and who you are, the way you poured out yourself as a sacrifice for us. Thanks for the privilege we get now of going out and looking for ways to be the cup and the sleeve and the napkin. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory as a result, Lord, in terms of serving you. It's in your precious name we do pray, and all God's people said, amen. Hey, thank you for coming. Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you.